3, 2, Lost Hope Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio program and libertarian voice broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, December 20th, 2007. It's now about 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. During this, our live program, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numeric two, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And now, on to our program. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to start off this morning with a couple of statements that I think are very true. Here's one by Pat Buchanan, believe it or not. And he says, terrorism is the price of empire. If you do not wish to pay the price, you must give up the empire. And that's Patrick J. Buchanan, Where the Right Went Wrong. You know, there's many things that I disagree with Pat Buchanan, but he's a sharp thinker. There are so many things he says that are so provoking, thought-provoking, and they're true. And philosophically, he's right on many, many issues. I read a report here in the Science Christian Monitor, believe it or not. Got this from online, the csmonitor.com, and it talked about how the United States stacked up in science worldwide. Well, we came out a dismal 29th in science, and some of the countries that beat us out were Finland, Hong Kong, Canada, Estonia, Croatia, and then followed by the United States. We got a score of 489 on this science test. Let's see, it's called the Program for the International Students Assessment, the PISA, and we didn't do very well at all. I don't know really what that says. I'll be very honest with you. Now, there are people who disagree with that, saying that the tests are slanted in one way, shape, or form. You can't have a worldwide test based on cultures and whatever. But I think, you know, science is science, and that's quite dismal. That must speak to our school system, our government school system. I'm going to harp on the government school system again. You know, we say, well, geez, without the government, we would have no schools. We have no schools with the government, folks. This is the big problem. Here's something interesting. I'm going to read this. This is lengthy, but it's well worth reading before we get on to our program. Where is it written in the Constitution, in what article or section is it contained, that you may take children from their parents and parents from their children and compel them to fight the battles of any war in which the folly and wickedness of the government may engage itself? Think about that. Let's take about this this patriotism bullcrap and this emotionalism that we place, the nationalism, and, you know, we'll fight until we die type thing. And just think of that sentence. Where is it written in the Constitution? In what article or section does it contain that you may take children from their parents and parents from their children and compel them to fight the battles of any war in which the folly and wickedness of the government may engage itself in? Now, What's interesting, if we look at our wars during the years, we find that most of them had been trumped up. I mean, they're not legitimate wars. It's not that we're sitting here fat, dumb, and happy, and all of a sudden another country is just starting to invade us, you know, like you see on TV. These are trumped up wars. They're false flags, and they're done for monetary reasons. You got to follow the money. It goes on to say this: under what concealment has this power lain hidden, which now for the first time comes forth with a tremendous and baleful aspect to trample down and destroy the dearest right of personal liberty? Absolutely right. And how much further could you go other than taking someone's life when you say, talk about taking someone's liberty? What about all these boys that are dying in Iraq and Afghanistan, all over the world, who are wearing uniforms? They're giving not their liberty, they're giving their life. That's worse than their liberty. They're giving their very life. And for what? We don't even know. We should be rioting in the streets, folks. Who will show me any constitutional injunction which makes it the duty of the American people to surrender everything valuable in life, and even life itself, whenever the purposes of the ambitious... Excuse me, I have to turn the page. Ambitious. A mischievous government may require it. A free government with an uncontrolled power of military conscription is the most ridiculous and abominable contradiction, and nonsense that ever entered into the heads of men. Now, if you thought this was written because of the Iraq War, this was written by Daniel Webster, 1782 to 1852, U.S. Senator, in a speech he gave, speech in the House of Representatives on January 14th, 1814. Now, you think words such as that would be emblazoned on every book, every history book, every book on civil rights, every civil citizen book that they give in the government schools. Every time they talk about the Constitution, they should repeat that mantra. Just think about that. You know, we ask the students to get up every day, you know, before class, and recite the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. Why would they not recite exactly what I just recited to you? Because they're government schools, and the government doesn't want you to think. The government wants you to be subservient. The government wants you to give up the most precious items that you have, your children, so that they can profit, so the money changers can profit. What an abomination. And then we stand up and we pledge allegiance to the flag. We have no allegiance to a flag. We have an allegiance to ourselves as free people. We have an allegiance maybe to our Constitution that makes us free, that says that we are free. Doesn't make us free. It says that we are free. We don't pledge out anything to the Constitution. We do all of this mumbo-jumbo crap. It's all emotional. And then if someone criticizes it, you're anti-American. The only true American is a patriot. The only true American is a dissident. The only true American is one that holds the government accountable and restricts the government from performing any function that is not explicitly implied in the Constitution. We should all be rioting in the streets. People say, oh, you'd have anarchy. It's a hell of a lot better than what we have now. And we wouldn't have anarchy. If we had no government, there would be no anarchy whatsoever. There would be peace. People don't create wars. Governments do. Now, you may disagree with your neighbor, but government or no government, you're still going to disagree with your neighbor. With no government, you're not going to go over to your neighbor and knock him over the head with a baseball bat. In fact, you may be much kinder to your neighbor The pressure will be off of you. I'm sorry for getting so riled up. Here are a few more that just tie in beautifully with that. Make the big lie, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they'll believe it. Adolf Hitler. It is easier to believe a lie that one has heard 1,000 times than to believe a fact that no one has heard before. That's an unknown author. And by the way, I received that from the Information Clearinghouse. I think I've suggested to my listeners to subscribe to the Information Clearinghouse. And if you subscribe, please send them a small donation. Doesn't have to be much. He'll take a dollar. I mean, he does a wonderful job of putting all of the news in one place, and he deserves the money. And I support him financially, and I support him also on this program. I want to say before we get on to the main crux of our program that we do have, folks, a credit crisis. We do have a monetary crisis. I don't want to call it a liquidity crisis because that's not true. We have a solvency crisis. Our banks are no longer solvent. Just recently, on the corner at 81st and Yale in Tulsa, they opened up the fourth bank. Four banks on one corner. Not a big corner. I mean, it's not in the center of town. It's in the suburbs, so to speak. Four banks. Two on one corner. And then one each on the other two corners. Four banks on four corners. Now, I have a question. Now, all very expensive-looking banks. I mean, very, very exquisite. Lots of land. Beautifully done. I have a question. And I wish someone can answer this. And folks, if there's a listener out there that can help me with this one, please do. I've asked bankers. They have no answer for me. How can a bank open up when there's three other banks right next to them on one corner? Especially when there does not seem to be any need for any more banks. Because on the other intersection, there are two more banks. And the other section, the other way, there are two more banks. In other words, you cannot go to an intersection here in Tulsa without getting, without seeing one, two, three, or four banks. Now, if that was a convenience store, three of the four would go out of business. But the banks seem to survive. There's something wrong with our monetary system. Our monetary system is rotten. There's no basis for our monetary system. Anytime you see the proliferation of banking such as this, you know we're heading for a crash. Now, I'm not an economist. If you wanted to know about the economy and economics, go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He does a great job of explaining to him. You know, he's the guy that I go to. But I look at things from a very pragmatic, very simple point of view because I'm just not that smart. And I look at the number of banks that we have here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I just cannot believe it. We have more banks here than we have convenience stores. And the banks are in prime property. Intersections where I'm sure it costs millions of dollars for the intersection. And they take up the whole intersection. I mean, one side of an intersection, corner of an intersection, rather. It's got to be a couple of acres long. I mean, it costs millions of dollars. Then they put a $1 million building on it. They open up and they're in business. They're making money. Folks, that's got to tell us that there is something wrong with our monetary system. They are making money from nothing. They cannot be making money from something because something costs money. And they cannot have a cost of goods. There cannot be a cost of goods there. It has to be pure profit. Or they couldn't stay open. And each bank is a small bank, a name that you've never heard of before. You know, the First Citizens Bank, you know, the Bank of the Spirit, all this other stuff. I mean, it's like the churches, you know. They all have different names. And they all perform the same service, and they all offer the same services. So why one over the other? I don't know. They're all the same thing. They have checking accounts and savings accounts. They give out loans and mortgages. Big deal. You can do that anywhere. My wife mentioned something interesting. She said, you know, back in the old days, there used to be one bank in an entire town. One bank would handle the town. Maybe there would be two. There would be a big bank and a small bank. And now there's a bank on every corner. Folks, that's when we had a monetary system based on the gold standard, where our coins were made out of silver. Our dollars were redeemable in gold or silver. Folks, we are heading for a crash of monumental proportions. Now, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying that from what I can see, that's the only conclusion I can come up with. And we want to know why the U.S. dollar is going down and why the price of things are going up. It's because the U.S. dollar is not worth crap. Not worth anything. And everyone knows it. Sometimes it increases in value relative to other currencies, but then it drops back down again. Did you hear that just yesterday they approved over $1 trillion budget spending? Over $1 trillion in spending. 9,000 pork projects. 9,000. 9,000. Now, Pelosi was supposed to stop that. She said, no more of these add-ons. And what happens? 9,000 of them. The budget is 3,400 pages long. What is really interesting about that is that they're all unconstitutional. I'll bet if you took what they are spending money on and you aligned it with what the Constitution says that they can do, I'll bet the budget would be less than 10 pages long. If you eliminated everything that the Constitution says is unconstitutional, or whatever the Constitution does not allow. And these are the people, these are the Democrats that went into office to clean things up. 9,000 pork barrel projects. One was $700 million for a bike trail in Minnesota. Another one was a post office exhibit in Las Vegas. Who would go to Las Vegas to go to a post office exhibit? Go to a post office in Las Vegas to gamble, to see naked girls. That's what you do. I don't understand. The U.S. dollar, yet, and the world now, here's one from the a currency magazine. World abandoning the U.S. dollar as international currency for trade, and that's going to be the end of that. Okay, folks, let's get on to our program. What we said, what we had put on the blog was, on our schedule, is that those who seek office make all sorts of promises. Come to all the promise to lower taxes. Let's take a look at this ubiquitous promise. Can or will they? If they can, how? Well, it's very interesting. There's I encourage everyone to subscribe to Freedom Daily, from the the Foundation of Economic Education, the Future Freedom Foundation. The Future Freedom Foundation and the Freedom of Economic Education, both. Subscribe to both of them, and please give generously to both of them. They do a wonderful job. And if you subscribe to the Future Freedom Foundation, they'll send you the Freedom Daily, a little booklet published several times a year. I don't know how many times a year, but I got the December 2007. And Jacob G. Hornberger is the founder and president, and he published an article called The Ultimate Tax Cut. This article should be read by every grammar school kid, every high school kid, student, every college student, every students that are going for a master's degree, PhD. And basically what he says is that they promise tax cuts, the people running for office. They all do. Now, the only thing that they don't tell you is that they're going to cut taxes, but they're not going to cut the programs. Just like the 9,000 pork barrel projects. So here we are. They're promising to cut taxes. But the only way you can cut taxes is if you cut spending. This they will not do. So what do? They promise to cut taxes. And even if they did cut taxes, and they keep the same programs, or they increase the spending on programs, how do they get away with that? Well, they do what I suggested earlier, is that all they do is print more money out of thin air to base the currency. The money you and I have in our wallet are worth less, and that's how it's paid for. And inflation, that is the definition of inflation, is the increasing of money supply. That's the only way you can get inflation. And when they inflate the money supply, our money becomes is worth less, and as a result, that in fact is a tax. It's a very sneaky tax. You see, the government can do whatever they want because they have the printing press. In fact, they don't even print the money anymore. All they do is make digital notations, and they send it to the bank. They say, "Bank, all right, now you can spend more money," and they just print more. They just basically make a bookkeeping notation. Our money supply gets inflated. It's worthless money. That money is used to pay for the program, and they reduce taxes, and they're happy. Now, here's another trick. Let's say they have a program, and they're presently funding $300 million for this program. And whatever, you name the program, makes no difference. Now, let's say one party, right, says that we want to increase funding for this program, which they shouldn't be funded at all, by the way, all right, in this case. But we want to increase funding by $50 million to $350 million. Now, the other party says, no, that's ridiculous. That's too high. We'll approve $335 million, right? And let's assume it gets approved for $335 million. What both parties do is this. The party who suggested the $350 million says, against the other party, these people decreased funding for this necessary program. They actually decreased funding by $15 million. Well, that's true. They decreased the increase by $15 million, but they didn't decrease the funding. So they make the other party look like the bad guys, especially for something like schools or food for children or medical aid or something, or foreign aid or something like that. And they'll say, well, you know, the other party decreased it by $15 million. Now, the opposing party will say, well, these people will just take your money and spend it like there's no tomorrow. They want to increase it by $50 million. And good thing we were there to cut it back. Well, we got screwed either way. And both parties are blaming each other on doing something that is against the wishes of the people. Neither of which are the wishes of the people. This is the game that they play, and this is what they say during the campaigns. And you see, as a result, there really is no tax cut. There can never be a tax cut. A tax cut means they have to go in, and they have to kill these pork projects. They have to actually reduce or close down some of the programs that they promised to their constituents. Well, that's how they got elected. They got elected because they bribed the voters. And we bite into that every time. A majority of people bite into that. Look at the number of people today, folks, that are willing to vote for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton based on compassion. And what do they say? Well, we need to do more. We're almost there. We need to ensure that people have health care. We need to make sure that the children don't go hungry. That's not the job of the government. It's not the job of the government to ensure people have health insurance. It never has been, never will be. But all that means is another government program. And anyone who disagrees with that approach is called cruel, is considered cruel, cold-hearted, unfeeling, maybe very rich person that doesn't care for the masses. And you know who pays for it? The poor. Because we wind up with a divided country. Because those people who are making the money and are being taxed up the kazoo to pay for these programs get to resent the people who are accepting it. There's a division in government. It's not the compassion of the politician that's going to ameliorate that. They're the ones that create it. You know, I made a comment here. I want to talk about immigration. We only have a few minutes, but I want to talk about immigration for a minute. I do not understand this illegal immigration issue. An illegal immigrant is someone who came to the United States without papers. Big deal. You don't have papers. Why do I give a damn? So a person stops at the border and gets papers and comes in. And now the person's legal. Who cares? This is a free country. Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. But make sure they got the papers. That makes no sense whatsoever. We should be able to trade human resources as we trade products and services throughout the world. Free trade. We talk about free trade. The ultimate free trade is people. We don't care where you come from. We don't care too much if they come across the Canadian border. That we excuse. But the Mexican border, we really concerned about that. Trees in my around my house got clobbered because of the ice storm. I mean, very severe damage. Big limbs had to come down. We're talking a lot of money. People climbing big trees, taking limbs down. It was a mess. In fact, when the tree tumbled down, it hit the brick pillars to my fence, destroyed that. I mean, we had a lot of damage. The guy who came around, his name was Gilbert. Gilbert wasn't even from Tulsa. He was from Houston. So he was an alien already. He was an alien because he wasn't a citizen of Tulsa. And he said he would do all this work, and he showed me all of his papers. He gave me references, and he gave me his insurance papers just to show that, you know, he was bonded and all that stuff. And he told me exactly what he would do. I have a guy that I know who's a tree expert. He came around. He says, yep, they'll do the right thing. Yeah, that's correct. And they checked his work, and they did a fine work. But you want to know something? I'll bet you everyone who worked for him were illegal aliens. I'll bet you. Did I ask? No. But the price he asked to take down a couple of those trees was $600. It would have cost me over $1,000. You think I would have reported this guy? I didn't care. Now, I don't know if they were illegal aliens, but good chance they were. Hard work. They did good work. Work that people who were born here would not do. Let's get off the track with this illegal immigration. Let's forget about it. Illegal immigration is not a problem. Illegal immigration is a solution to our problems. We need them. Because if not, I would have paid maybe $400, $500 more to take my trees down. That would have meant $400, $500 less that I would spend on goods made here in the good old United States. Okay, enough said for today. I'd like everyone, this Sunday, I'm going to have an interesting guest, an organization which I'll talk about, read about in my blog. And he's just a very interesting person. We're going to digress from our normal program. I'd like to interview him to see what he has to say. Should be very interesting. That'll be Sunday evening at 8 o'clock. That's Sunday, December 23rd. I guess that's the eve of Christmas Eve, December 23rd at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Okay, this is the end of today's program. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com, or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.